wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you as we talk about yet another. I know everybody was worried. The city is enthralled with consecutive quality starts. Actually, you know, we thought we were at our fantasy draft and we were, you know, watching it and paying attention to it. And the wild pitch gave the Rangers their fourth run and thought it was over. And there was just a little bit of, I don't want to say relief, but okay, that's enough now. That's great. You know, it's awesome how wonderful.
I didn't have relief. I was literally, it's like somebody had been eliminated from a playoff series.
No.
I was super sad.
No, I wasn't. I was, and I have a feeling, hearing Dusty talk about it, that he's like, we don't need this no more.
Well, you heard him say that one time, and that was because of, I don't think it was about that. I mean, Fromber's doing something that is coming up on, from a historical standpoint, 26 is the modern day record. It'd be phenomenal for Fromber to get there.
26 straight?
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. What's
wrong with somebody approaching a record? If it was Justin Verlander, we'd be celebrating. It'd be incredible.
Well, no. It's not a racist thing per se. It's I don't care anymore.
Why not?
Well, no, I was paying attention to it to see if I hope Fromber does it too, but it's like, and if he doesn't, then it's over. That's okay.
I was disappointed. I will say it is. Feels a little cheaper giving up four runs and you still get a quality start.
And you still get the quality start last night.
But I didn't know at the time that Altuve had the throwing error from the, because we didn't have the TV. We had a TV in the back row, when I say TV, streaming. But I didn't realize it was a throwing error so that they weren't all earned runs.
Right. We
and
just knew that it was.
Wild pitch is not an earned run either. But at the time I was thinking it was, but it's a wild pitch. But, you know, the main thing is the Astros lost, and Fromber struggled in the first inning, but then was incredible after that, striking out 11. But the Astros did a good job of coming back, but I think these are one of those little distractions that you have along the way to what is going to be an easy trip into the playoffs, because they just smashed their division. You know, they're going to have another double-digit win in their division. It's a positive distraction on the way towards what's really important, obviously.
Yeah. What's really important is wins. What's really important is getting ready, everybody ready. Man, listen, I don't need any more quality starts to know that Fromber is one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
I don't need that Jacob DeGrom record. It'll be nice, and it's nice for Fromber. You know what? Fromber got the win in the All-Star game. How awesome was that? He got his first All-Star appearance. He got his hair braided. I mean, it's been a magical.
Yeah, Fromber has put together
a
new look.
It's a magical season.
He went from regular hair to long braids overnight.
Yeah.
Literally overnight. So, yeah, it has been a magical season. Magic hair. Magic curveballs. All that stuff.
Do you see what that is?
That looks delicious.
Rogel's.
What are they doing?
They're doing brisket and pulled pork empanadas.
Oh my heavens.
Why don't they bring us anything ever? That's so
Rangles,
terrible.
I know, Russell. I could tell them to.
Yeah. Well, then tell them to. That's all I'm saying.
And Todd's going to want a little piece of the action.
Well, of course Todd does. He always wants a piece of our action.
We just want free food.
That's all we want.
Why can't somebody bring us some food?
Yeah. Rangles, I don't want to see
this
on Twitter.
The other shows I just
got distracted by empanadas on Twitter.
I've never seen that. I was in Rangles on Sunday. Monday, as a matter of fact.
Today's a good day. Don't they have pastrami
Sunday
today?
Sunday or Monday.
Oh, no,
it's Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
But I went and got the three meat platter and put my Tim Donaghy on and put my earphones on.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's literally my favorite thing to do is have my lunch, have my earphones in, have my phone set up in just the way I can watch it, and just sit there and just tune out. It's my favorite thing every day.
Mine is.
You want to go to lunch together? Nope. I sure don't. I want to just sit here and watch this on a phone with my or a computer in my office.
That's not how you're going to get your wife to have, be more amorous with you. To tell her, no, I don't want to go to lunch with you. I want to eat. I would rather watch Tim Donaghy.
She's homeschooling. Snooze.
My favorite thing is I eat lunch right after the show. By 10:30, 11 o'clock, I've got my meal going, watching Family Guy.
Same. No, you're That's no it. Different than me. Where's Wendy?
Wendy's at work.
You're by yourself.
Where she should be.
You're by yourself,
right,
aren't you?
Right.
That's the same thing I'm doing.
Yes.
Only exact now same I do thing. It in a computer office.
Exact same thing.
I mean, in my office up here. So, yeah, we had our fantasy football auction yesterday, and that was something I started literally the first year that we did radio. You got into it later. We had it was with listeners, including Sean Pendergast. So me and Sean kind of got it kicked off. The two of us got it set up, but now he handles all the heavy lifting, so I don't have to, which is great.
Yep.
But we've had Daryl Morey was in it for a year. Dennis Lindsay, former GM of the Jazz and president, he was in it year two. In the first 2 years, we were at SRO Sports Bar, which many of you will remember, some of you won't, and it's always known for. It was this huge, really a badass sports bar. It's the best the city's ever seen. It was a former movie theater that was set up with all these TVs, and then they had this private little lounge upstairs that you could go into. And we did our draft downstairs the first year. It's an auction, and then upstairs the second year. But both times, it was WNBA Finals on. So we distinctly remember as WNBA Finals were on. At that particular time, remember, there was no Houston pro football team. There
right.
were no Texans
right.
in 97,
right.
98. And so we always remember the fact that it's in, well, Sue Bird played her last game, and I guess, you know, it's to great fanfare. She's over 40 now. And, but it's always interesting the timing. I guess they're not in the finals because this was literally the finals. So I guess their schedule, their season now is longer.
It's longer. Yeah, I think they've expanded. They probably expanded the playoffs or whatever.
The football season's not earlier now, is it, than it used to be?
Or is it? No. No, actually, no.
I don't think so.
No. No, it's right around. It's about the same. No, but they probably expanded the WNBA playoffs. No one knows, but yes, they probably did.
It was a lot of fanfare.
It's impossible to know. It's an impossible. You're bringing up something that is
I will say this: from the time that WNBA started to now, that sport has grown exponentially from a fan base standpoint. They do much much better. We don't have a team in Houston, but they do much much better from an attendance standpoint, and the game is significantly better. The women who play now are substantially more talented in my estimation. And when you look at the jump in 20 years, you know, you go back 20 years, let's just say 97, 98. We're talking Michael Jordan versus Reggie Miller. You look at Allen Iverson was in the league, a young AI. All the players that were available then, there has not been a jump in basketball talent. People like the Gen Z, like, and some millennials will try to act like it was all plumbers playing in the 90s. But that's simply not the case.
No.
The talent level, the pure talent, was about the same. I think the athleticism now is better. And I think because three-point shooting has become such a major focus from a team standpoint, more players can shoot better from distance because they come up practicing that more. I don't think the game is significantly better. In women's basketball, it's a joke. It's not even – it's like it's a different sport. The women who play now are substantially more talented than what we saw in the late 90s. But that will always be tied to the first couple of years of our fantasy auction, going to that place. And we used to go to – we had it at BB's 1 year. We had it 1 year at two or 3 years at Raging Cajun. Got us hooked into Maggiano, so we had it catered upstairs. We had a private room and catered, and we were like, this is the fanciest fantasy football ever. And then like 4 or 5
now
years.
Now we eat pizza and up in Sean's. Yeah.
We were at Nick's place too. Yeah. We did Hooters 1 year. So we've been a lot of different places. And then for the last 3 or 4 years, we go to Sean lives in a little high rise. So we go to his private little room. And usually we have the TV on. It wasn't working yesterday.
We
can watch the Astros. But it's always a lot of fun. And I highly recommend auction formats. It's just so much better. It's a true test of. your ability to put together a team.
Yeah, I liked the other, the snake better.
You do? Yeah. Well, because you have to think. Because you don't have
to
think as much.
It's so draining. Well, but no, I like my team. I like my team. Yeah. It's fun. I mean, you gotta have a strategy. That's for sure. With the auction,
you don't have the first. Your first time you go on auction, you don't know what you're doing.
It's
impossible. I had a strategy on guys I wanted, and I still ended up with Ezekiel Elliott again. This happens like every other year. I'm like,
why do you have Ezekiel Elliott? I wanted Tony Pollard bad.
Well, Tony Pollard was half the money Ezekiel Elliott was. He was $9, and Zeke was $17.
Right.
And as soon as I heard nine, disgust me to know that Tony Pollard goes for nine.
Who will have more points this fantasy football season?
I think it's a legitimate question.
I do too.
I think it's a legitimate question.
Tony Pollard's been beating him.
Mm-hmm. Got more juice.
Yeah,
just quicker.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he has more carries this year than Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know about that.
Well, so first of all, injuries. First of all, Zeke has been banged up.
True. Jerry Jones made a comment about they need to ride Zeke. I mean, they're paying him so much. I think there's an idea that I'm just not sure that it gives him the best chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, I had someone say, so what? You're hating on Ezekiel Elliott. I said, it's not hating on Ezekiel Elliott. It's when you pay that man's contract. When you pay someone that much, there is an expectation of output.
Yeah.
Your output is equal to the dollars that you make, and once that output no longer makes sense, you become a cap casualty. That's the great thing about the NFL is when you are no longer, you get a certain amount of guaranteed money, but if you don't play to a contract, they can cut you and move, and it's not like people act like Ezekiel Elliott's going to be eating ramen, you know. Poverty is not in his future. He's going to be okay. Like, what's going to happen to me? Please, please. Yeah, all of it needs to be guaranteed. No, if you don't work hard, if you don't put the time in, if you're not the same player, you don't get that. But you also get a crap ton of money up front. In basketball and baseball, as soon as you get your contract, Fernando Tatis can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants.
No, because it's guaranteed. No question. No, Zeke is. Well, Zeke's gotten paid, bro. He hasn't done anything, and he's gotten paid.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And it's so funny because in fantasy football, in regular football, running backs are a dime a dozen. It's turned into that. They don't get the big money. Quarterbacks, some of the most average quarterback. I think Kyler Murray couldn't be more average. What he's done on the field so far, not leading anyone to playoff wins, like, he falls apart the second half of seasons, and yet he's getting massive amounts of money. You go to fantasy football, it's the exact opposite. Aaron Rodgers, $4.
I think he was three.
He went for $3 or $4 yesterday.
$3, I think.
You bid $10 to start off with on Jalen Hurts. No bids.
No.
Jalen Hurts. And I think Jalen's going to have a good season. I think people are sleeping on him. But $10, that's it. But
Josh Allen got up to 18. You know,
but that's not even. No. It used to be in the 20
something. No, right.
Patrick Mahomes was like 11. Yeah. And you got Joe Burrow went for I think 8.
Yeah.
So and then in football, you know, I got Elijah Mitchell for 14.
Right.
Elijah Mitchell is worth
way more than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Four times.
Cam Akers is worth five times Aaron Rodgers.
713 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros lose. We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll hear some sound, get all that stuff going on here for you as another. But doesn't matter what the Astros did. Got a quality start. That's all that mattered. Last night.
Hey, when we come back, we've got updates on not only Justin Verlander, but Ryan Pressly, and want to get into that. We also at 8 o'clock have Kevin Bryant, who's an author of Spies on the Sideline. This guy was a former military guy who wrote an article about espionage in football. Pretty interesting. We'll visit with him.
It was Bill Belichick's biography.
Basically.
All right, it's 713 ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. He is just the best at buying cars. It's just, and he says, when you sell, if you're a car buyer, okay, or you're a car salesman, all right? So here's the deal. This is reversed now because you're the person, right? You're the guy, and you're the one that's selling the car. So you're a car salesman. So John Clay Wolf is the car buyer. Okay, now the tables have turned. Is it as slimy now? No. But do you want to get as much as you possibly can when you're selling that car? Absolutely. You want to get the most you possibly can. That's what car salesmen do. You're the car salesman. You want to get as much as possible. So you go out there and you say, hey, who wants this car? And how much will you pay for it? That's exactly what happens at GiveMeTheVIN.com. So you put in your license plate number, and he tells you, this is what I can give you for it. And it's more than you're going to get anywhere else. So if you're looking to sell that car, be a car salesman. Get as much as you can at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Diamonds are forever. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 717 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Astros tonight, Javier against Reagans in the finale as the Astros lose last night. Good news is, well, a couple of things. Aledmys Diaz is making his way back, which is nice. It'll be interesting to see when Aledmys Diaz does come back. You know, he's been out for a while. Mancini's been disappointing, if you want to know the truth. He's been he's gotten some walks, but he really, really strikes out way too much.
He's become a very one-trick.
Yeah,
he's a one-trick pony,
and he hasn't homered in a while either. So Mancini is not the hitter that he was in Baltimore.
Better he's just power not. Hitter, Mancini or Yordan?
Well, since Mancini got here, Mancini.
Yeah,
no, that's true. Which is he's got six homers for the Astros, but it's been a while, and he's got to come up with more. He's got to get a better average. He's got to hit better. I mean, he's just striking out so much, so many times he's walking back to that dugout. It's just been pretty disappointing. So Aledmys Diaz, you know what? When he does come back, he deserves a shot to get back in the lineup. Well, the question is will he be able to hit when he gets back as all this time off?
I know.
I mean, he was on a roll. Dude was raking.
It is. When you add someone like that to your lineup, man, that is just one of those things that no one's thinking about because you're winning games without him. But he is so important to have that bat off the bench, to have that ability to play him. Although, I will say, once you hit the postseason, there is a question about how do you play him? Like, where do you find a spot for him? Is he going to be DHing, or what do you do? Now, the other thing, though, the more important thing right now is pitching. And yesterday, the Astros, one of the pitching coaches, Josh Miller, was talking about the return of Ryan Pressly. We're getting updates on Ryan Pressly and Justin Verlander. Pressly's your closer, and no offense to Montero, but I would rather have Pressly in there than Montero.
Wow, how you have really turned on this one.
And now, in terms of what we're looking for with the health of Ryan Pressly, Josh Miller gave us an update.
Just still dealing with a little lingering neck soreness through today, through well. Just want to make sure he's 100% before we get him back in there. Anticipate to do that here in the next couple days, too.
Has he thrown off the mound or anything?
He has thrown off the mound twice, yes.
But Astros manager Dusty Baker says he is not quite ready to be activated. So he is still on the IL.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the advantages of one of the big advantages of having a lead the Astros have is that you don't have to rush things. People don't have to pitch through injury. That's a really dangerous thing. Pitching through an injury is really bad. Pitching through soreness can be a problem. The Astros don't have to. You heard Josh Miller mention that right there. They're going to wait till he's 100%. Literally 100%. You can do that when you have this many arms. You can do that when you have this kind of lead. It's not really a concern.
The danger is sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting and losing that. And, you know, especially with pitching, You got to be pinpoint. You want to be as accurate, especially closing coming in high leverage situations, the pressure and all of that. That you lose some of that focus. That you lose some of that. You want him to be at the top of his game when they hit the playoffs. So yeah. The longer he's out, the more it's going to probably will take him to get back to, that form that he was in.
Maybe, but I think being able to throw all of your pitches at their best level is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Making sure, because he's a guy that needs to be able to snap off breaking pitches and things like that. And the same thing goes for Justin Verlander. Right now, you're so deep in your starting rotation that you can afford to have Justin Verlander on the sideline getting right. Josh Miller gave us an update on Justin Verlander yesterday.
I played another game of catch today. Played catch out to about 90 feet or so, maybe a little less, and felt good. And we'll go from there and probably think about getting him off the mound here in the next handful of days and go from there.
Yeah, just progressing about what you guys anticipated. Is he on the right kind of time frame you guys had?
Yeah, I think so. Doing good.
So, it's nothing new with JV. You get your regular time frame and everything's fine. So the Astros, to be honest, are on pace to get a closer back. I still want to hear more positive stuff about that. But Ledmus Diaz has been sidelined for a while. You've got Ryan Pressly. It's been sidelined for a while, but he's coming back. Justin Verlander, I think, is going to be fine. If you've got Verlander and Verlander, we would expect back by mid-month. Pressly, it's a little more wide open with Pressly. I don't know that there's necessarily a timetable on it, but you just want your closer back at 100%. You want Justin Verlander back at 100%. And you think that this is maybe a good thing for Verlander to hit the 15-day, take a 15-day vacation.
Absolutely. There's another one. Give him three, four starts to get back into his rhythm of starting and everything else. Hopefully he'll be back with a couple weeks left in the season or 3 weeks left in the season and you can get a couple three starts in before the postseason. But I think this rest when you're 39 years old coming off of 2 years off from Tommy John surgery, I think this rest is going to be a godsend in the long run. Him, he's worn down. I mean, he's been great in the postseason in the ALCS and he's worn out in the World Series so far. And that's historically in his career. And now he's even older. And now he's coming off of 2 years where he didn't pitch at all. You want him to throw 200 innings and then get to the postseason? I think this is ideal that Justin Verlander isn't throwing right now. And he's resting and you know what? He's working his way back. And I think it's gonna be great for him if in the postseason. Hopefully it'll be great for him. Now, I don't know what it means. Justin Verlander, I'm sure he wants to win another Cy Young, right? I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine he wants to win another
Cy Young. He's still in position, too.
And he's still very much in position, too. The more time he misses, though, when you start to look at the numbers and the number of wins and his ERA and his whip and all of that stuff is tremendous. But number of strikeouts, we'll see.
Who's his competition?
Well, it's Dylan Cease and it's Shane McClanahan.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, win totals are not going to be the team win totals are not going to be as good for those teams. And although I don't know if it should matter as much for a Cy Young as an MVP. Obviously, MVP is the win totals matter a little bit more. Cy Young, your own personal win totals tend to matter more since you're only responsible for half of that. And the MVP would be too, but the MVP is going to be in 140 plus games a year. The Cy Young award winner is only going to be every 5 days potentially, and some days even less than that. So 34 starts max usually. And for Justin, it's probably going to be closer to 31 starts in that neighborhood. So we'll see. I still think Justin Verlander is going to get it. I still think
he's I think so too. I mean, he's been spectacular. Look, it's already decided Aaron Judge is the MVP. There's nothing anybody can do. Did you see this stat on Aaron Judge? That Aaron Judge is going to – the only person that has hit the difference between the number one home run hitter and the number two home run hitter, the only person that has had a bigger spread right now is Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth led the league in 1921 and 1920 and 21 and had 35 more home runs than the second place finisher.
Mm.
Babe Ruth in 26 had 26 more home runs than the second place finisher. In 28, he had 23 more home runs. In 24, he had 19. Right now, Aaron Judge has 18 more home runs than Kyle Schwarber.
That's awesome. Tell everyone the little joke you said yesterday about the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees, you know how, you know, Daryl Morey was playing chess, right? And right. Everybody else was playing checkers.
Yeah.
Well, the Yankees are playing chess while everyone else is playing baseball. the
I love that line.
Those the Yankees have sucked, and that's God, you know what? Oh well.
Every week there's a new article about how low can the Yankees sink.
Right.
Aaron Boone is now hoping that this is the game, this 5-2 win over the Rays, is he's hoping this breaks him out of it. I love watching the meltdown.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. It had been decided that the Yankees were playing the Dodgers. It had already been decided June.
Yeah.
That was, I'm sorry. This is who it is. It had been decided.
And now, with this.
If they fell out of the playoffs, how incredible would that be?
With as deep as the, I don't know. Guess what? Just got confirmed yesterday that Roger Clemens is going to be joining us. I talked to him yesterday, and he is going to be joining us after every playoff game this season.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a preview during the wild card when the Astros are off. We're going to have a preview of the Astros in the postseason. And then after every playoff game, through every round, through the World Series, mm-hmm. Roger Clemens is going to join us at 8 o'clock the morning after the game.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool.
Our new sponsor, John Daspit, new to this show, not new to the station. He's been sponsoring Soccer Matters for years with Glenn Davis. But John Daspit Law Firm is going to be sponsoring that with Roger. And he is going to come on after every playoff game. The insight of Roger Clemens at 8 o'clock in the morning is going to be
interesting.
Incredible.
I was thinking about this. Okay. I mean, I don't even think it's arguable the bullpen, how much better the bullpen is right now than in, let's say, 2005, their World Series year.
Yeah.
What about the rotation? Roger, let's Andy, see. Roy.
Roger, Andy, Roy was strong.
Verlander, Fromber, McCullers, or
I would answer. I would argue that the three is clearly better than this year's three. Like Roy, if Roy's your three, it's not Andy.
Well,
three.
Let's not forget. Well, Clemens had like a Cy Young year in 2005. He was unbelievable. The only thing he didn't get was wins because they didn't hit for him. You'll
remember
that.
Rogers' numbers were insane.
Where they were stupid.
I went back and looked at it and was like, holy cow.
But Fromber's better than Andy was that year.
Yeah.
Fromber's better. Now, Roy, that's a different deal.
Roy is a starting pitcher, one, who happened to be on a team full of. It was probably Roger, Roy, Andy,
yeah.
In terms of pure talent. I have to go back and look at the numbers, but now it would be it's JV, Fromber. I still think that three might be slightly ahead because it can't be McCullers because he hasn't pitched here enough. And is it Urquidy? Maybe. None of those guys are up on Roy's level of consistency. McCullers can be when he's on. His stuff is. I would say the stuff of this year's Astros starting pitching is the greatest stuff I've ever seen. Javier, Urquidy, Fromber, Verlander, just those four guys for a chunk of the season. Luis Garcia is, I think his stuff is just okay. I think in any year, Luis Garcia is a four starter. For some teams, he'd be a third starter. For good Astros teams, he's a fourth starter.
Yeah, not this year.
This year, he's a fifth.
He's a fifth.
Yeah, he's a fifth.
Yeah.
At best, I mean, but really, Javier was better than him, but Lance didn't pitch for most of the year.
Well, then we
so if you keep
and
Lance
we,
out.
I think when you're talking about Javier, when you're talking about possibly Garcia, when you're talking about Hunter Brown now, when you're talking about Presley, Neris, Stanek, when you're talking about this bullpen now,
I don't
think it's arguable that this whole – I would rather have this entire staff.
It's not close to
over that staff.
Oh, it's not close. You
yeah.
said 2005, right?
Right.
Here's one of the biggest differences. In the Astros, this has been an issue in the past. When the Astros were playing in a postseason against the Yankees, the Red Sox, especially the Dodgers, there was always, every time the other team went to the bullpen, there were these arms like who had plus fastballs. They're big fastballs. And the Astros had Tony Sipp. And, you know, and it was, they didn't always have the big fastball guys. They had Kendall Graveman was okay. Maton has, is it 92, 93? Dude, the Astros now have everyone's working at 95 plus in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Everyone's working. Oh, I didn't even mention Montero.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I think this staff, and, you know, we've been talking about the Mets and the Dodgers. This pitching may be the best in baseball, even with Scherzer and DeGrom and Carrasco at the top of the Mets rotation.
Andy was a 2.39 ERA. Roy was a 2.94. So maybe I'm wrong on that, but here's your bullpen. Brad Lidge, you know, really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Lidge, 42 saves. But then they had Chad Qualls, Dan Wheeler, Russ Springer, Chad Harville. I don't barely even remember him. And Mike Gallo, like getting to Lidge was a war.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get to Lidge? Now with the Astros, look at the arms.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at the arms. Once you got past their big three is Brandon Backey, we know as the ultimate gamer, Wandy Rodriguez, and Ezekiel Estacio. Brandon was a 4.76. Wandy was a 5.53.
One guy in the locker room said, a face only a mother could love.
That's terrible. You're talking about Zeke Estacio.
Yeah.
81 innings pitched, 100 hits. That's not great.
No, it's not great. All right, let's talk about patios right now. We'll get back on more Astros baseball. We also got a lot of football to talk. We'll do that on the other side as well. But first, patios.
Texas Custom Patios. The process of going through, you know, from the initial stages moving forward is really incredible with Texas Custom Patios. They'll go out to your home. They measure the space, wherever the space is that makes the most sense for your project. And then once you get there, once they get it measured out, they go to the drawings they have. They have like high end, you know, engineering type of architectural drawings that they can put together for you. And it is a lifelike rendering of what the place is going to look like. And really, you truly can see what your patio could look like. And then they build it. They build it to spec so that it looks exactly like that. And if you have touches that you want put in there, let them know and they will put that in there. If you have no idea what you're doing, like I don't, they handle all of the design stuff and they can make it very, very simple. They maximize the space you have and can put so many different features in there. If you want an outdoor kitchen, you can get that. You want a cooktop, you want an outdoor grill, you want refrigerator, you want an island set up just the right way so people can watch the games over, you know, right there from the island. You want multiple TVs. These are all things that my friends over at Texas Custom Patios can do. Every facet of the backyard can be taken care of. And now they're doing pools as well, high-end pools that add a substantial level of baller to your backyard. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and you can explore the project that is right there on the front page and how they put it together. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Hey, we're going to be in Lake Charles right after the football season, the 12th and 13th. We're going to be at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and boy, is that going to be fun because the DraftKings Sportsbook has opened up. I don't know what you're doing, but if you're not going to why go to Vegas anymore when you got the Nugget right here with this beautiful sports book? We're going to be in there. We're going
to
be broadcasting.
Unless you're going to Vegas to go to the Golden Nugget.
Well, yeah, you could go to the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, but it's a lot closer. I'm
telling you.
Golden Nugget Las Vegas. It's a lot closer here.
It is. I don't have to fly.
You don't have to fly. You don't have to pay for the flight. It's 4 hours to get there
and
back. You got a 2-hour trip down I-10.
Well, they had a sports book last time we were there. They had just opened up, but now they got the big bad boy.
Oh, no. Now they got the bad boy.
Yeah. Now you're hanging out watching games.
Right. Now you got an entire sports book with a billion TVs in it, with food and drinks
awesome. You got action.
And listen, then you go to the tables. What? If you're looking for the best way to get get your bet on and have yourself a great time, the Golden Nugget Lake Charles right here opened up. The DraftKings Sportsbook will be there just in a couple weeks.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. 736 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, I'm back on track, RJ. I got it now. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk about Verlander. You mentioned Verlander. Now, it got to be, Verlander is, he's got young kids. And, you know, he's still.
How old are they?
I don't know. I don't want to get into his personal life, all that. But he's a young guy. He's not old. He's 39 years old, right? And yet, here's a kid.
Well, you can say how old his kids are. I mean, you don't know.
Probably. I don't know. I don't know. So I'm not going to say.
Oh,
but
he's got.
He's got a daughter, I know, that's
she'd
about.
She'd be five nine. Now.
She's five? Yeah.
She'd be five now.
So he's got. And here's Hunter Brown coming up out of the minor leagues going, yeah, I idolized this guy. My throwing motion is the same exact. I mean, everything that he did. And here's a major leaguer that's coming up here throwing 100 miles an hour, right? And he's like, wow, I'm that old guy now. You know what I'm saying? I'm that old guy that this kid idolized growing up, and now he's doing the exact same things. How awesome it must be for Hunter Brown to be in that locker room with Justin Verlander, a guy who he emulated throughout his entire baseball life.
That's like if me and Cesar Cedeno played baseball together.
You two on the same
team.
Me
and Akeem were on the same team.
Yeah.
With the, you know, with the Rockets or something. And I could have been like, this is incredible. And then he'd say, be careful of that one. And it was Vernon Maxwell. And then I'd also have to be scared of Vernon Maxwell.
Well, right.
Although I don't know if Akeem was afraid of him.
Since he
slapped
him.
Vernon one
time. He did slap him. But Justin Verlander talked about Hunter Brown looking up to him as a big league player.
I mean, that's a hard question to answer, I guess. You know, it's pretty cool to have somebody make their debut who grew up idolizing me. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to sit here and really talk about myself. So I think what he's done and his trajectory and what he's turned himself into a great pitcher and his story is fantastic. And it's all a credit to him. Great kid.
But you remember what it was like when you were coming up and there were guys that you looked up to, and it's kind of the same kind of thing, right? You've been through that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember crossing paths with some guys in the outfield, seeing some guys, first All-Star game in 2007, just seeing some guys in that locker room who I'd idolized growing up. Good point. That's how he feels. It's pretty cool. It was pretty cool for me, so I hope it's just as fun for him.
That is pretty neat. And the fact that he comes up on the big league team with the guy that he had, two guys that were in Detroit and end up in Houston together, is pretty awesome. Now, how did Hunter Brown pitch according to Justin Verlander? Here's Verlander on his debut.
Incredible. It was a lot of fun to watch. I was excited to see his debut. Him and I had a chance to talk a little bit in spring training, and I haven't had much of a chance to talk to him here yet. I kind of try to stay out of guys' ways when they're pitching. So, but it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, couldn't script it much better.
Couldn't have gone much better. I don't want to get too, the hype train. Bigger hype, Hunter Brown or Davis Mills right now?
I actually think it's Davis Mills.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Hunter Brown has not. I think there are some people who are, honestly, and I saw people say this, they're kind of just, I'm just waiting for the postseason. What? The Astros have been so good in the regular season. It's such a long season. I think there are some people right now who have kind of mini-checked out in the Astros. Not in a negative way. They're just like, they keep track of the score. They don't watch as much. Like, oh, that's nice.
Man, I don't,
wake me up when the postseason gets here. This is regular season.
Man, I was pumped. I don't know. If you're an Astros fan, Hunter Brown come up is...
That's Astros heart. That's when you're watching every game.
Yeah.
It's when you're a 162 fan. For the average sports fan in Houston, I think it's Hunter Brown's like, yeah, that's nice, but we're waiting for the postseason.
Well, there are a lot. Well, if you're going to go how many people have checked out on the Texans? Good Lord.
Well, for years, for the last couple of years they have, but
yeah,
the Texans football is 17 games. That's it.
Yeah.
And there is, and football is,
well,
when it's going well, football is the biggest sport in the city.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But a bunch of people have checked out on that, too. Bigger hype, Damian Pierce or Hunter Brown?
I mean, I just feel like the Texans hype is bigger right now. I think it has nothing to do with Hunter Brown. It's that
it's
we're in the second half of the season. football season's getting ready to start. For the first time, fans are coming out of hibernation on the Texans. And I think with Hunter Brown, you know, a lot of people, like, for us, it's different. Like, for me, I'm much more hyped about Hunter Brown than Davis Mills. But I think for the average sports fan who likes all three sports, I think they would tell you, no, I want to see this quarterback do well. This is a big deal. If you have one pitcher on a staff of really good starters versus the only quarterback the Texans have, you know, I think they just would look at it differently. But and I do think some of the average, the casuals, are going to say, oh, the Hunter Brown thing is nice. That's cool. Another good pitcher. Awesome. I just can't wait for the postseason where the Astros playoffs start and I get to put my Astros thing on and my bedazzled socks that I have, and I get to go to the games.
I mean, I'm
drink those $24 gin and tonics.
The only thing that I worry about with Hunter Brown is that they're actually not going to use him. Is that they're going to go with Phil Maton and Will Smith in the postseason. And that's a real possibility that they would make that mistake just because those guys have been here. Now, we have seen them, though, guys coming up out of remember when Josh James made an entrance much like this Hunter Brown entrance,
yeah,
and was unbelievable and made the postseason roster as well. Now, he didn't pan out, hopefully, as well as Hunter Brown is going to pan out. But I could certainly see a scenario where the Astros are just like, yeah, I know Hunter Brown hasn't given up any runs in September, and he's pitched a bunch, and he's looked unbelievable, and he really has only given up, like, five hits this entire month. But, you know, we need that lefty, Will Smith.
I swear to God, if they do that, you know, the idea that a left-hander, because he's left-handed, what sample size, what data set do you need to show that he should be in a game? Do you have any?
No, there's.
Is there any Will Smith data that shows you here? You may have to go to previous seasons against previous hitters, and yet you know he's going to be on the playoff roster. Now, the playoff roster runs deeper than you think. Like, there's a good chance that the Astros are going to keep 13 arms.
Mm-mm.
And if you go to 13 arms, you could drop Maton out of there and put Hunter Brown in there, I guess. And you still end up with Will Smith on the team. So I think Will Smith is going to be on there regardless. It's just a matter of you don't have to pitch him.
Don't
do you?
Say that. Don't say stuff like that. I mean, I just think that's terrible.
No, here.
I think you're a terrible person right now.
Six,
that
eight,
Will Poo, that you
ten,
think Will Smith
11.
Has to be on the team. Okay? That's just.
Here you go. Justin Verlander, Fromber, Urquidy, Lance, right? That's probably the four.
Justin, yeah, Fromber, Urquidy, and Lance.
Okay. Javier, Brown, Garcia. There's three different starters in the bullpen, along with Stanek, Montero, Presley, Nerys, and Smith. How many?
No,
that
that's 12.
Uh-huh. And that's leaving Maton.
No.
I'm leaving Maton out there.
Yeah.
If you had Maton in, that's 13 pitchers.
Well,
that means everybody's in.
No. Seth Martinez or Abreu are there instead of.
Oh, Abreu. Yeah. I think Abreu's in there instead of Maton.
Yeah, instead of Maton, or instead of Will Smith.
But I'm saying even if you kept Smith in, you
that's
put,
12. With
and
Smith.
You put Abreu.
You can't have 12. You can't. You're limited on the number of pitchers you got in the postseason.
No, you can have.
Yeah,
12.
You are. No, you can't.
You can have 12 pitchers.
I'm not sure in the first. I'm not sure in the first round it might be just 11. I think they changed the rules on that. It's 7:45 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, 7037803776 is the number. And ESPN.
Can't you have the roster however you want it?
No.
It's your roster.
Limited number of pitchers. They limit your number. They limit it in the regular season, too. They limit the number of guys you can have in the bullpen.
13 pitchers.
13 you can have?
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Oh, because you expand the roster.
Yeah.
You expand it to 26.
26.
Or 27, yeah.
Yeah, if everything 26. Had gone according to plan, it would have changed this week to drop the number of pitchers on a roster from 14 to 13. But that move has now been pushed back twice. Well, that was back in June, but. Yeah, you're going to see all your greatest hits on the pitching staff. You're going to get them all, even the ones you don't want.
Hey, let's talk right now about, listen, the Cougs are heading to Texas Tech this week, right? But then they're coming back home, and we got to fill up that stadium. San Antonio was full, people. San Antonio was awesome. Yeah, they tarped the top, but it was crazy. It was a great atmosphere. It really helped San Antonio play better. It is going to help the Cougs play much better next week when Kansas comes to town. You got a Big 12 team in here that beats the snot out of Texas. Okay, so if you think Kansas is a pushover, really ask Texas about them. $12 tickets right now for the Kansas game. Call 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets to get your ticket today. You got a food drive to benefit the Cougar Cupboard, too. You got tailgating 4 hours before the game. Cougar Walk at 2:45. Red Bull Jump Team will be jumping into the stadium. The Spirit of Houston Marching Band. Entertainment by cheerleaders Cougar Dolls, Shasta, and Sasha. DJ in the student section. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We got to fill up TDECU, people. This has got to happen. We got to have better support for this football team. It is a good football team. Let's go. $12 tickets. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, this crazy inflation that we're starting to see, it's really made everything more expensive. I'm sure you guys have gone to the grocery stores and seen that housing prices, the cost to build houses, everything has gone up, but that includes your home policy as well. For a lot of customers, they have seen 30, 40, even 50% increases before making the switch over to TGS Insurance. And many listeners switch to TGS for the very purpose of just saving money, finding more money to put in their pocket. Their instant quoting systems can shop the market and deliver savings within 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. Grab your phone right now and text the word money to 232323, and their system is going to ask for your address. You send that back, and you're going to get a full quote with it with excellent coverage, A-rated coverage, within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are absolutely legit. I've been speaking for them for, I guess, 6 years now, and they have saved so many people money. Three different times I have used their services to save big money. You could, too. The average savings, over $800, but in many cases, it's into the thousands. One more time, text the word money to 232323 to get your homeowner's insurance quote and save big today with TGSinsurance.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:51. Kevin Bryant's going to join us at the top of the hour here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, talking about his article about cheating, basically cheating in football. So we will talk about that. Here's what. While we were doing our fantasy draft last night, I got this from my brother-in-law, and then this has just made its way. It's Brian Kelly at his press. Brian Kelly.
I can't wait to
at his press conference.
Set the tone. Let's tell people who Brian Kelly is.
Brian Kelly is the LSU head coach. He's got one. He's one game in. They lost to Florida State. Came from Notre Dame. Where
before that, it was University of Cincinnati.
Right.
The smaller program, big time program. But it's the Notre Dame way, right? Everything you think of Notre Dame, they think they're better than everybody. Well, I think that's fair, right?
And it's a small town where you kowtow, much like Austin, you kowtow to the, I mean, you don't step out of line if you're the media. You listen. You know what? You better ask the right questions. I mean, like Nick Saban just runs the show right in Tuscaloosa.
But it's kind of hoity. It is weird because it dates back to the Catholic thing where there's so many Notre Dame fans, and it's in their family because they were the Catholic institution. So it spanned across the country. It's kind of Dallas Cowboy, honestly.
Oh, Notre
where
Dame?
The Cowboy yeah. fans are all over the place.
Yeah.
The same thing with Notre Dame. Notre Dame fans are all over
well,
the place.
Well, yeah. If you're Catholic, you have an immediate tie to Notre Dame. You have an immediate tie if you're
yeah,
Catholic.
Yeah. Well, for many people, that's why it runs in that family.
Right. And Irish, okay, so all the Irish Catholics. I mean, and Newt Rockne and, you know, Win One for the Gipper and all that thing. Crap.
Are they big in Chicago, I would imagine?
Oh, very big.
Yeah,
huge.
It's not far from.
Huge.
Right?
But there is a.
But the town is just a little town.
No. South Bend's real small. But there's a respect level there, too, right? I mean, it's Notre Dame, it's hallowed halls, it's touchdown Jesus.
I think
it's
in the playoffs.
The coaches, Newt Rockne and Frank Leahy and Ara Parseghian, and
there's a great history to him.
Great history
with Manti Te'o and the girlfriend.
Well, that's
who died.
So Brian Kelly goes to LSU now. So
he left. Now tell the story about this. When he first got there, he went to a basketball game and like, I'm telling y'all something right now. And he tried to change it. We're going to win this game over here at LSU. Everyone's like, what the hell? where's this accent come from? Is everyone commenting on? And this is something else. If y'all ready to get ready to hear this Tiger Stadium up in here, and y'all finna make groceries? Like, what?
I can't wait for it. I'm making some gumbo. If y'all
want
to come.
We gonna make gumbo. We fixing groceries. Gonna let the window up. All that stuff. Okay? So if y'all want to hear Tiger football like y'all supposed to do up here, all you Cajun, come over to my house. We going to Don for Crackling over near Bro Bridge. What? Who is this guy? Wasn't in Notre Dame.
He just walked in and he got Cajun immediately.
Immediately. Who got that booty?
So
what?
But here's the deal. I mean, I'm on a text stream with my brother. There's 12 of us from the family and my wife's family, and they're all. This is $10 million? Are you kidding me? He's unprepared. This is the worst. This team, Brian Kelly, go back, you Yankee. What you doing here?
One game in.
They want him fired. Well, his first press conference after the game, you know, on Monday, coaches meet the media. After they look at the film on Sunday, they meet the media. And here's how it started for Brian Kelly.
We'll open it up to this late arriving media crowd that must have enjoyed the weekend. That's usually $10 that we put in the kitty. We'll have a big bash at the end of the year at my place.
Well, maybe if you win, I'll be on time.
I don't think it has anything to do with winning. I think it has to do with being on time.
If you win. I'll be on. Maybe if you win, I'll be on time. She said.
Yeah,
That was a female reporter.
That wasn't even. You want to
talk about
type.
Disrespect? Maybe if you win, I'll be on time. What?
It's not even about winning. Oh, it's about God. Being on time, Brian. Don't. That's not a fight you want now,
Brian,
bro.
Brian, you ain't.
That ain't your fight, bro.
You got to win over this media. Not. I'll find you $10.
What? Every time I see Brian Kelly on the TV show. You know, he always making comments about what they're going to do next at LSU. They're supposed to win this game or they're supposed to beat that team over there. I'm telling you right now, Brian Kelly has got to go. Of all the LSU coaches I've ever seen, and I'm talking about Curly Holman, all of them, this is the most disgraceful LSU Tiger team I have seen in my entire life of covering LSU football. Disgraceful. And Brian Kelly, for him to yell at the media that we're supposed to be on time is absolutely something that I cannot stand for. So it's time that we got Brian Kelly up out of here. We need to get Orgeron back, what we need to do. How quick LSU fans will change.
Well, speaking of Orgeron, for some reason.
He had surgery on his throat?
Yeah, he needed it. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, his guy, Derek Kamansky. I tried to get him on the air. He goes, Coach O, he said, I think Coach wants to come on. He goes, he just had surgery on his voice. And I'm like, I knew something was jacked up. Had to be.
No. That voice, no wonder he had to have surgery. So he was at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, which had the Nick Saban. That's where Nick Saban made his comments.
It is?
Yeah, at the Little Rock Touchdown Club,
wasn't it?
I know
Gruden did.
Oh, Gruden. You're right. Well, Saban might have been there, too.
Saban might have been. I don't know who's pulling this. This is Little Rock, Arkansas.
Little Rock, Arkansas. For whatever reason, their touchdown club is getting John Gruden and Coach O, and they're sitting in front of this. It looks like a press conference, but they're sitting up there, and there's a big crowd there. And here's Coach O telling the story of how he left LSU.
I'm so grateful of my time for LSU. That was my opportunity. You know, coaches got a shelf. Some coaches got 50 years. Some coaches got 12. Mine was 6. Good. I got to tell you, we had a meeting. Said, Coach, things are not going well. No, Ray Charles can see that, brother. Said, Coach, you got $17.1 million on your contract. We're going to give it to you. I said, what time you want me to leave? What door you want me out of, brother?
Coach O's living a good life.
Yeah.
And Coach O's doing all right. Coach O was a partier. Now, hope though, that $17 million ain't going to get him back to those days because he liked to go hard. Coach,
yeah.
Coach liked to go hard back in the day.
From talking to his guy, I think he's...
Hopefully.
I think he'll get back into either something media-related or coaching-related.
Right. All right. When we come back... We got this.
Yeah, Kevin Bryant, Spies on the Sidelines. This is really he's going to introduce you to some things that go on in football that you didn't even know about. How the sausage is made. When we come back, Kevin Bryant, Spies on the Sidelines, the high-stakes world of NFL espionage. This is all real, true stuff from a guy who is a special agent in the armed forces. So we'll do that when we come back.
All right, right now we're talking about Chastain Ford and the people that are at Chastain Ford and the wonderfulness that is Chastain Ford. And it's about people. It's about how at the top the Chastains have started this thing. I've started this thing. It's going on 90 years that the Chastains have been selling cars in the city of Houston. And you don't last in 90 years in any business unless you do it right, unless you – listen, you get repeat business. The Chastains, this is the first time they've really done extensive advertising. They've just been word of mouth for 90 years up until we started doing this here with them. And it's just been, and you don't do that unless you're great at what you do. Unless you're great at making sure that everybody is happy, making sure that everybody gets that vehicle the way they are. How do you become the number one commercial dealer for Ford in the city of Houston unless you're unbelievable with service, with price, and making sure that everybody is completely happy? And that's what they do every single time. You're going to get that Ford car or truck, and when you order it from Chastain Ford, you're not going to pay MSRP. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. You're going to get all the rebates you possibly can. You're going to get the best deal you can at Chastain Ford. So go to ChastainFord.com, or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.